What I am life.
Everyone knows it's windy.
Is that? Are you think? Does that? Does that inspire? Wait, the theme song
that was
inspires.
That was a tweet
you.
We got this week from Fozzie, who said that. Is it just me, or does anybody else hear windy every time they hear the Linoleum Knife theme song? There's a bit of a.
I had never considered.
I hadn't
it.
Thought of it either, but there's a little bit of a. Na, 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 na,
yeah, you're right.
It's not. They're close cousins.
Right. So, any surviving members of the association,
it's not.
You know who to go sue.
It's not litigiously close. It's not actionable. It's just, you know.
Everything is actionable.
They're of a vein. Welcome to Linoleum Knife, a podcast of the cinema.
It's the 4th of July weekend, and I've blown off all my fingers and eyebrows with fireworks.
Liar.
I'm trying to tell an exciting story about the 4th of July.
Why don't you tell the exciting story about the first 4th of July?
Here's the funny thing about the first 4th of July. It's in this movie, see, that you made me watch, where everyone sings as they sign the Declaration of Independence.
But they don't actually sing while they're doing the signing, but, you know.
Kind of.
Leading up to it.
They do a whole
lot of
singing
yes.
Going up to that.
Yes.
I think maybe losing eyebrows and fingers might be more fun than watching that film again.
Oh, stop it. You liked it. You just get tired of the fact that I watch it with some
right.
regularity.
No, it's fine. I just, you know.
He's Dave White, by the way.
Oh, yeah. By the way, introductioning ourselves.
Yes.
I'm Dave White. I'm the film critic for linoleumknife.com with a dash
yes.
in the middle.
Linoleum
like
dash.
In between the word linoleum and knife. Don't forget that dash. If
yes.
you forget the dash, you'll go to linoleumknife.com.
Which is a whole other thing.
Which has nothing on it, I think.
I don't know. Somebody else bought it. So, you know. Well.
And it's not even a site where you can buy linoleum knives.
Well, maybe it is now. I don't know. I'm Alonzo Duraldi. I'm the film reviews editor for The Wrap and film critic for What the Flick on the Young Turks Network on YouTube.
It takes you to Time Warner Cable.
Oh, okay, then it's nothing.
It's nothing.
And the movie that Dave was referring to earlier, of course, was 1776, which has just recently come out on Blu-ray in a beautiful 4K restoration.
The singinest 4th of July you ever did see.
Extended director's cut. So if you are...
Now it's 7 hours instead of just five.
If you're a fan of the movie, you'll want to check it out. It's a really great... Blu-ray. They put some love and elbow grease into it. So.
It is over 200 years long, this film.
Stop. You have enjoyed it, so don't front now like boo-hoo you.
I have I understand your attraction to it now. I've seen it and did not hate it. I saw it that one time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good for ever.
That's fine.
With that.
I never force you to watch it again.
No, you haven't.
Yeah.
Other than by association where...
Well, and that we live in the same apartment.
We live in the same home where, you know, I don't have my own wing yet.
With the gift wrap room.
The gift wrap room and a, you know...
We should get those, you know, they have those wireless headphones for TVs now.
Oh.
We should maybe look into that.
You should. Since you're the one watching the television... more than me, and late at night after I go to bed.
Mm. So, yes, you're the one...
Like at 10 p.m.
You're the one who's complaining, usually, because I'm either watching something when you're trying to write, or I'm watching 1776, or I'm watching something and you're in bed because the sun has gone down.
I'm only... You know, I only complain when you... bray like a hyena laughing over something.
No, you complain about
yeah.
lots of things.
Because you do your something that you're watching is funny, and it's at night, late, mm-hmm. and I'm asleep. And you do your laugh, which I cannot mimic.
Good.
To save my life, but it goes a little something like this.
Oh, no.
Ha-ha! I do it. Wait. Ha-ha!
You can't even do it.
Yeah, it's something like that.
That's not an impersonation of anything. You're just randomly making sounds.
I'm trying to get my voice to go high.
You got nothing.
I'm trying to get my voice to go up high the way you have a real... Okay, like, the announcement of your laugh starts way up here.
Uh-huh.
Or actually, it doesn't. I'm sorry. Let me. It starts. Yes. It goes.
You clearly know what you're talking about.
It's like a ha ha
because you're impersonating it so dead on.
Ha ha, like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Tell me another one.
I think the first batch of tries more closely approximate how you sound.
Yeah.
When you do that.
I love that story.
You
complain about many things with great frequency. So don't pretend like, oh, it's just this one thing. And I'm just talking about in regards to the television and the volume, much less all the other myriad arenas that you find to complain about.
Things. I like things to be a certain way. Who doesn't?
You are Meg Ryan.
Who doesn't like things to be a certain way?
I want the Russian dressing on the side.
Everybody wants... I do want my dressing on the side. Unless it's a Caesar salad. Mm-hmm. Where the job of the Caesar dressing is to coat every single, aspect of the the leaves. I do want the dressing on the side. So I put my fork in the dressing.
You liar. You have never done that.
I have done that many times.
Oh. While you're having your slim secretary lunch of Melba toast and fruit cocktail,
what?
I have never once seen you dunk a fork in salad dressing.
You've never seen me do that?
No.
That's because you don't pay attention.
Oh, you are making this up.
You're not a good attention payer.
This is not a fiction podcast, Dave White. We're supposed to be reviewing movies.
I'm not telling
you're
fictional stories.
You're just making up,
no.
Making up
no.
whoppers
Wrong.
One after another.
That is incorrect. Furthermore,
fork in your salad.
I have done that
you
many,
are
many
such
times.
A liar.
Many, many times in restaurants. I have done that many times.
I have eaten in restaurants with you.
Yeah, and you
know. I've never witnessed this. If anything, I've only ever seen you chug the salad dressing out of a barrel and ask for more.
More green goddess, please. Gaw, 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 gaw. If only they had green goddess
you
on
can
menus.
Take that lettuce back. I just want the dressing. Glaw, 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 glaw.
If only they had green goddess on menus anymore. They like Musso and Frank's probably still
have
it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, they still have tongue and aspic too, probably.
Yeah, but please begin paying more attention to my salad enjoyment.
If I ever see this happen, I'm sure you're doing it on purpose just to see, look, I've been doing it all along. How were you not paying attention?
I have done
to my dietetic salad practice.
I've done it so many times.
I don't believe
you.
This.
Yeah, because I don't like a heavily dressed salad. You think you're steely-eyed Joe all the time with everything and that you know all the things. You don't know all the things.
I don't know all the things, I know that this is not a thing you ever do.
You're not observant all the time.
Fine, I will start being more observational.
Are you going to be okay?
Yes, pardon.
Are you going to die?
Don't I will start being more observational of your salad consumption.
Don't die on our birthdays, on our
nation's...
Our great nation's birthday weekend.
No.
That I don't want to... I can't lose you. If you die, there's no one to run this board.
You have no idea how to record this podcast. I know.
And no one will help me record my audiobook.
Which is a thing that is happening soon.
Yes. No, I bought a mic stand.
Yep.
I bought a pop filter. I'm not using it right now. Can you tell? Pop.
You should start. You've been hanging up sheets
sound.
In the closet to muffle.
Oh, that's not just sheets. That's thick, heavy muffling fabrics.
Oh.
Doug, the sound man, he was here to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just have to wait for you to get done with Outfest.
Yes.
The actual Outfest Festival is happening.
Outfest Los
it
Angeles.
Begins this week.
Yes. Begins this Thursday.
I was 9th. All ready to start, but you don't have time for me.
I don't.
So we're all just going to have to wait a little bit until the festival's over.
Outfest is a harsh mistress. She demands my full attention for a week and a half.
Yeah. And then this is happening. Mm-hmm. Audio book.
Woo.
It's going to be...
I'm trying to...
The sounds of encouragement. Here's the first one is... The second one is...
Woo! Yay! I don't know what you want from me.
But I want you to do the laugh.
I'm not doing the laugh. Because you can't impersonate it, so why should I bother? Clearly, my laugh exists in an alternate dimension with your salad dressing fork that none can access.
I didn't see Terminator.
No, you didn't.
I chose not to
you
see.
You awful person.
I chose not to see Terminator. Here's the pleasure of quitting your job at movies.com. Your employer, who never actually cared about whether or not your reviews ran in the first place, just a little.
They're still my partial
little
employer.
Little sidebar
so
there.
Don't get crazy.
Your employer is not begging you to review Terminator. Readers might be begging you to review Terminator. I know that there have been a few people come to me and like, "Where's your Terminator review? I know you're at Linoleum Knife now, but where's Terminator?" And I was like,
"Yeah, Dave, think of the fans."
Hey, everybody, relax. Guess what? Not going to do it.
Well,
I'm not going to review Terminator.
I care more about our listeners than you do.
If you are really jonesing for a Terminator review, why don't you go read the Terminator review by Alonzo Duralde? Or by...
I didn't write one, but you can... I did it over at What the Flick.
You did it over at What the Flick?
Yeah.
You could go read one by James Rocky.
At the Wrap.
At the Wrap. You could read...
Manola review it?
Either Manola or A.O. Scott reviewed it for the New York Times, and they're both great. And Manola is a friend of ours and friend of the show. Yeah,
she's been on several times.
If the great Jay Hoberman or Jonathan Rosenbaum have reviewed this film, or Amy Tobin, one of those three, like, super, you know, high up there film critics that nobody can touch, you know, maybe one of those wrote a review. You should start reading those people anyway, because they'll learn you some things. There's a whole lot of folks out there who could review Terminator.
I went.
Maybe also you could just sit here and listen to what Alonzo's about to say, because I don't want to do it.
Since Dave White is too lazy to keep up with the current cinema.
No, that is not the why. The why is I got a book to finish writing this summer.
True.
And one of the perks of being my own boss now, deciding what I'm going to write about film-wise, is choosing not to see certain things, such as Entourage.
But it's Terminator exegesis.
Yeah, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not. I mean, it's useless, right? It's useless.
Yes.
Okay. Tell everybody about it.
Okay. Well, you may have heard about how Kyle Reese is sent from the future by John Connor to save the life of Sarah Connor from a time-traveling killing robot.
I heard about that.
So that when the machines take over, they will not have John Connor to deal with.
I heard all about that in the 80s.
So this time, when Kyle Reese goes back... he does not find sort of like dippy waitress Sarah Connor in the 80s. He finds already ass-kicking, gun-toting, armored car-driving Sarah Connor instead.
Who plays who?
Well, Kyle Reese is Jai Courtney.
Is it Jai or
it is,
Jay?
It is Jai.
How do we know that?
Because people keep telling me on the internet. It is Jai.
Jai.
Yes. Jai Courtney. an actor that we enjoy looking at and never seem to enjoy his movies all that much. Except maybe Jack Reacher.
He's handsome.
He is handsome. Yeah. And, you know, there, because there's he travels through time, and that means naked in these movies. You do see quite the expanse of him. But, you know, then Sarah Connor is Emilia Clarke, who is on the Game of Thrones, which I do not watch. So I don't know who she is on the Game of Thrones.
Right.
But she's somebody playing.
It's actually not called the
Game. She's someone
of
playing
Thrones,
the Game of
the
Thrones. I thought it was like the Game of Life.
No.
It's not? No? Okay.
No.
Anyway, so she's on the Game of Thrones. And then John Connor is played by Jason Clarke.
Oh, Jason Clarke.
The Australian actor.
I like that dude.
I can never remember from movie to movie because I think
he's Zero Dark Thirty.
So bland. No, I know. And he was in that Apes movie.
A whole bunch of stuff. He's in the Planet of the Apes movie.
He makes no impression on me whatsoever.
No, he's great. He's cool.
He is pH zero.
That's 9 less pHs than are in the Diamond Water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, and the Terminator is still Arnold Schwarzenegger. But then, see, in this version, it turns out that the timelines have changed. What? And so, now they tried to kill 9-year-old Sarah Connor, but the Schwarzenegger robot saved her. So now...
Are you spoilering it right now?
No, this is all in the first 10 minutes.
Okay.
So then when Kyle Reese comes back to 1987, or whenever it was, now she's already, like, kicking ass and ready to go, and she's got this aging Schwarzenegger with her, who...
Do they mutate him to be young Schwarzenegger?
They do. They send back a young Schwarzenegger robot.
Right.
And, you know, that's the whole Griffith Park thing.
Yes.
Who then gets intercepted by old Schwarzenegger. And I have to say, the young Schwarzenegger technology is leaps and bounds beyond what it was when they did it to Schwarzenegger in Terminator Salvation, remember?
Oh, that's right.
How bad that was?
Yeah.
To say nothing of Jeff Bridges in Tron Legacy. So he actually looks relatively realistic as the, you know, 80s Schwarzenegger for a moment. Anyway, so now the timelines are all different, and so things are different, but they still got to stop, and now it turns out that Skynet launches later, and it's launching through this thing called Genesis, which is in 2017, which is some sort of, like, super program that everybody's signing up for that's going to connect their, you know, laptop to their phone, to their tablet, to their car, to their toaster, to their whatever. And that's the one kind of interesting idea this movie has, the idea that, like, in the years since the first Terminator, we've become so technology dependent and staring at screens all the time that we would actually welcome Skynet into our houses, basically, you know, into the cloud. That's kind of a neat notion. Beyond that,
that wasn't me, by the way.
That was me hitting
anything. That was Alonzo Duralde hitting a thing.
Yes, which is worth pointing out because it's usually you.
It happened last time too.
Yes, please keep on keeping score.
I'm
since
going
it's,
to.
Always
the
you.
The tables have turned, haven't they?
No, it's just that I'm the exception and you're the rule is what it turns out.
Watch out. Tables are
also
turning.
I am rubber and you are glue. beyond that, it's like an okay action movie. It's directed by Alan Taylor, who directed a bunch of the Game of Thrones episodes. And he did the second Thor movie. And he did Palookaville back in the day.
Yeah.
And actually, I think won the short film competition at the USA Film Festival eons ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good anyway. It's just kind of average as far as action stuff goes. And it's like, I liked the J.J. Abrams Star Trek reboot, but I'm afraid that he has, you know, in the same way that Skynet was intended for peaceful purposes and mutated into something terrible, I think that the J.J. Abrams formula of rebooting an old franchise is going to become the norm now, where they figure out a way to redo the same story while not messing with the old story by creating pocket dimensions or alternate timelines or, you know, whatever. And so this is basically, they're giving us all these different alternate timelines, and ultimately what it does is it just kind of renders the whole story pointless, because it's sort of like there will always be a Skynet, there will always be John Connor, and there will always be, you know, a Terminator. And we
have always been at war.
With Oceania, exactly. like no matter what happens, we're just going to change the time stream, or we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we're going to go through the whole thing all over again. Like, it's this passion play we can't get out of.
I can't wait for that to always happen forever.
So it's like, there are no stakes anymore because you just ultimately realize, well, whatever happens this time, they'll just undo it in the next movie with a new timeline or a this or that and some new excuse to tell this exact same movie all over again.
It's going to be great to never watch another one of these films.
This is an Annapurna picture, by the way.
No, it ain't.
Yeah, it is. Megan Ellison, made this thing happen. So obviously,
yeah, but
even
you got to make some money sometimes.
I say, even Eris has got to pay the bills. Apparently, You're not going to make it all on your Spike Jones movies. You got to crank out one of these babies.
Paul Thomas Anderson's inherent vice did not.
Burn down the wickets.
It didn't make anyone want to go see it, except me.
Right. And that's a surefire way to lose money right there.
Basically. Yeah, if you're really appealing to me...
You're doomed financially.
Yeah, there's not a...
appealing to me is bad enough, but appealing to you is even worse.
Here's what I reviewed this week. The New Rex Museum.
Yes, you did.
Perhaps none of you have heard of this film.
It is a film that exists.
It's a movie out there. It began its life as a 4-hour television show in the Netherlands. It was a 4-hour, 4-part TV special.
Docu-series.
Docu-series. It was then chopped to 2 hours and ten minutes. For release into American art house theaters. And it is the really interesting story. And I'm telling you this truthfully. I'm not goofing around. It is the really interesting story of the 10-year-long renovation of the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. It's one of the great museums of the world. And they started the renovation in 2003. And it immediately became a fiasco. And they had a budget of 130 million euros for the renovation. By the time it was over, it had cost somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 something million euros.
Too many Dutch cooks.
Half a billion dollars.
Wow.
Is what this was. And they... it also was supposed to take 2 or 3 years, and it took 10. They ran up against aesthetics review boards, bureaucrats that just didn't want it to happen, preservation people who were upset.
The cyclists union.
Work stoppages. Oh, I'm getting to them. And most of all, and most tenaciously, the Dutch Cyclists Union. You do not cross these people. They ride bicycles all over you. All over your face. You do not mess with the people in Amsterdam and their bikes. Because they will stab you with bike implements.
There's a lot of cyclist rage out there. Do you remember that night that we were on?
I understand cyclist rage in Los Angeles.
Sure.
Because
you are taking your life in your own hands.
I am actually afraid for all of my friends who have bicycles who use them regularly.
On the streets here, yeah.
On the streets here. Maddie. Oh, by the way, just an aside. Someone was asking me how many Matts I know. Because I've mentioned my younger brother, Matt, on this show. I've mentioned Matt Severson, who is my art film buddy.
Right.
And friend. And I've mentioned Matt, who everyone calls Matt, but who we call Matty, because we've known him forever, and everyone old-timey calls him Matty. But I've been interchanging. I've been mentioning these people and not identifying them, apparently. So someone asked me, they're like, which Matt were you talking about last week when you were at the thing, the Ho Xiao Xian film?
Your art bro Matt would have been totally down for the Ho Xiao Xian thing and would not have been asking questions in the car afterwards the way Matty was. Whereas your brother Matt wouldn't go within 10 miles of a Ho Xiao Xian retrospective.
Matty was happy to go see the Ho Xiao Xian movie.
No, I know.
My brother Matt would never. it would not happen. No. What was I talking about? The Dutch cyclists.
The Dutch cyclists.
They're not happy. And I'm afraid for our friends who ride bikes.
Right.
Matty rides a bike around town. Gary Cotty rides a bike around town.
Yes.
And I always think they're going to die.
Well, I get...
I've seen other cars, other motorists do horrible things to cyclists.
No, I get that. But I remember...
People who don't understand that they get the lane... That kind of thing. So tell me your thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, do I get to talk now?
Yes, you do.
May I?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Do you remember the night that we were on Hollywood Boulevard in front of the Chinese, and there was like one of those sort of take back the lane things where like a bunch of bikers were sort of riding?
Well, those guys are jerks because they hit our car intentionally.
Yes.
They slapped our car. Like they were scolding us for even having a car.
For existing.
That was Critical Mass.
Critical Mass. That was. I knew they had a cutesy name.
And they are in general good, but they've got some rogue jerk faces who... slap your car.
Yes. I'm sure the Ciclavia people are far more polite.
Apparently they are. The Ciclavia folks are just chill.
I wouldn't know because whenever there's a Ciclavia, I keep...
Well, you gotta stay away.
Way away because the traffic's a nightmare.
You don't want to drive near that. Anyway, the thing about this museum is that there was a bike path that sort of went right through it. And it separated the two halves of the museum. So the new plan by these Spanish architects who came up with this innovative, elegant solution.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was having any of this. And, sorry, now I'm moving a chair, which is in the way of
making all the noise.
Yeah. And the cyclists union got their way, and the... Apparently in the Netherlands, it's impolite to, get too upset.
Mm.
But the great thing, the funny thing about this documentary is that they put the camera back on the Spanish documentary, the Spanish architects.
Right.
Who would sort of look at the camera with this deadpan, I can't believe this is happening, sort of face. And then they would say things in Spanishy English, like, it's stupid. The new solution is vulgar and banal.
My people.
I wrote a review of this documentary. It is up now at linoleum-knife.com.
Yes, go check it out.
You should go read it because this is an interesting movie. And if you're a museum junkie like I am, there's kind of a bumper crop going on right now. I mean, a little miniature bumper crop because we had National Gallery last year, the Frederick Wiseman film.
Museum Hours.
Museum Hours, which is a narrative film that came out in 2012, 2013, something like that. There's one in theaters now that I have not yet seen, La Sapienza, which is an Italian film.
Uh-huh.
But it's here, it's here playing in Los Angeles right now.
Narrative or doc?
It's narrative, but it's got... a whole lot of just people in museums. I love this kind of thing.
I'll
be heading off to see La Sapienza.
You know those Fathom events, they do, some of them that they do are like their tours, virtual tours of museums.
Here's what I'm not going to do for the rest of my life ever.
Go to a Fathom event?
Another Fathom event. I went to one with you, that Sondheim show.
Merrily We Roll Along.
Yeah. And the show is great, but I don't like the visual quality of the Fathom event.
The brightness?
I don't like the brightness. I don't like the way it looks all crispy and video-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. And I'm certainly not going to go look at art in a movie theater that's being shown to me that way.
Well, I hope they fix that because
that ain't happening.
Because they do a lot of stuff that sounds interesting, and then I know
they do all these operas.
The operas, yeah.
And I think to myself, I would love to watch that, and then I think, no, I would not love to watch.
They did Nixon in China, and I wanted to go see it, but we had something else going on that weekend. But yeah, you're right. The visual quality is kind of weird. It's I didn't go see the first Hobbit movie in 48 frames. But it seems like that's what you were talking about.
Ish. Yeah.
So anyway, we did both go see The Third Man this weekend, the new 4K restoration that Rialto is releasing.
Yes.
And it looks great.
It's fantastic. And it was the very first film that I saw in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's right.
Back in 1999, we drove here in one of our cars from Texas. To leave that car here with Marcus,
yes,
our friend Marcus, and then, where's that music coming from?
The streets.
Okay. Honey Daniels doing choreography out in the streets right now?
It's these streets, as Tyler Perry would say.
We drove out here. We got this apartment.
Yes. Which this week marks 16 years.
16 years of us living in Los Angeles in this apartment. We found this apartment on that trip, and we went with your friend Robert.
Who's been on the show.
Abley, who has been on the show. He's a film critic. And our friend Loretta, who has never been on this show.
No.
But we met her for the first time.
Yeah.
While seeing The Third Man at the New Art. And it has recently reopened in a 4K restoration again at the New Art.
Yeah.
So, what a great movie that is.
Oh, so good.
What a really fantastic post-war bummer.
It's so cool, like, the idea that somebody would think, oh, okay, Vienna.
Vienna.
It's divided into four parts, and there's rubble, and there's da-da-da. Let's go make a movie there.
Yeah.
And let's make a movie that's actually timely and relevant and exciting. And
about that moment.
Yeah.
And about how just ruined everybody is.
Yeah.
And it's a mystery-ish of sorts.
Yeah.
And, this time around watching it, I thought to myself, what did Roman Polanski take from this for Chinatown?
Oh, I hadn't thought of it that way.
How?
Yeah. I see the connection, though. You mentioned
how is that sort of pessimism, what is the movie through line, What does The Third Man beget?
Right.
That then eventually leads to a film like Chinatown.
Sure. Yeah, because it's one of those movies where...
Tell people a little bit about
it. Even doing the right thing turns out to be the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Joseph Cotten stars as Holly Martins, is a penniless American pulp novelist who comes to Vienna because his old friend Harry Lime has invited him there to help out on a business venture that he's got going. And no sooner does Holly arrive in Vienna only to find out that Harry is dead and is being buried at that moment. And the local, there are four police forces sort of governing the city, the British, the French, the Americans, and the Russians. And the British authorities are telling him that Harry was a racketeer, and Holly refuses to believe it. So he starts investigating Harry's death, talking to different people that he spotted at Harry's funeral, including a shady doctor, a down-on-his-luck baron, and an actress who was in love with him, who was played by Alida Valli. And
that's all you should say.
I was saying, the deeper that Holly gets into the mystery, the more things that unfold.
I watched this, this time around, and I thought of Polanski, and I thought of David Lynch, and so many other. I mean, and I'm not just them, but the people who came before them as well. Like,
sure.
So much. German expressionist camera work going on.
Well, and that was before this.
I know that Carol, that Carol Reed, sort of
absorbed,
took from the past and absorbed and gave to this film.
Well, what somebody said about Citizen Kane, that not only is it the greatest American film ever made, it's the greatest German film ever.
Well,
made.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's incredible. If it does not come to your town during its re-release,
I suppose we'll have a Blu-ray coming soon.
There's going to be
in
a Blu-ray.
4K.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's weird. Like, a 4K, a lot of, like, your better home theaters can do 4K now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's, you know, so like I was thinking, you know, the 1776 Blu-ray is 4K. This is 4K. You know, you really are sort of can have quality that's up there with a movie theater, you know, if you have the right equipment at home. But it's, you know, not the same.
Magic Mike XXL.
Yeah, yeah. Which a friend of ours texted me today and said it was the worst thing he'd ever seen in a movie theater.
Who?
Aaron.
Really?
And I told him he should see more movies. Because I didn't love it, but, you know, it's far from the worst.
That's interesting to me that Aaron didn't at least sort of, you know, dig the intent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I you have the best read on it as far as what it's trying to do. I don't think it...
Yes, I did.
I don't think it justifies the movie, but it is an interesting angle to look at it where you called it Paris is Burning for straight white guys. Because at the beginning of the movie, they do enter a voguing contest, and at the end of the movie, they have put together a strip review that broadcasts their dreams, basically, of the
They've
future.
They've been air dreamboarding the entire film.
On Molly.
Yeah. And sort of hanging out. They've been hanging out.
Yeah.
The whole movie is about them...
Bro bonding.
In a frozen yogurt truck. Hanging out. First, they hang out at the drag bar and they enter a voguing contest. And then they hang out on a beach with Amber Heard.
Who's not good in this. I think she did what they asked her to do, but it's not,
yeah.
It's not good, whatever it is.
Then they stop at Jada Pinkett Smith's.
Ladies only membership strip.
Membership
bordello.
Feminists collective.
Consciousness raising with
stripper home.
In Savannah.
It's like a giant house. And every room has a different vibe. And every room has a different dancer man.
Mm-hmm.
And the ladies just sort of like go from room to room experiencing the men. And the men are there. It is as though Jada Pinkett Smith is sort of...
Female empowerment, sort of.
I don't know what the right word is, but she it's like she collects these guys who are really devoted and subservient to her. And so they...
I think they're more sensitive to her customers' needs.
Maybe, but it
her whole deal is she always refers to all of her clientele as queens.
Right.
And they're women, by the way.
Yeah.
You are queens!
Right.
You know? And the strippers are all there in a very sort of, like, affirming way for the women.
Right. Really, really dirty. And also really, you know, into servicing the female need.
Yeah.
Here's, I think, where I was going with my first half thought. Jada Pinkett Smith seduces people in this film. She moves like a rock star.
Like Jagger?
And she sort of draws you in and makes you want to do things for her. So
she is Fish Mooney.
So Channing Tatum shows up. And we don't know why he shows up. He brings all the guys to her place.
Right.
And
well, they've wrecked the yogurt
truck. Well, they have wrecked the yogurt truck. But he brings all the guys to her place. And he kind of wants her help. And she's like, no. We had a thing and
they have a past.
They have a past. They have such a past that he doesn't even talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so influential, you know, with him, that he now walks around the film saying things like, my God is a woman.
Do you think that's because of that relationship?
Oh, I guarantee you.
No, they never, that's not a line
that
the movie connects.
That is a line that the movie doesn't connect, but that's the line.
Mm.
That she taught him how to be Magic Mike. She gave him everything he needed to be Magic Mike.
He was her Padawan learner.
Yeah. And his approach to women is to, you know, revere them.
Right.
And so then they go hang out at Andy McDowell's house. Woot, and
which is a nice bit of sort of closing the loop, since, you know, Steven Soderbergh's first movie was Sex, Lies, and Videotape, which starred Andy McDowell as this very sexually frustrated and unhappy housewife. And here she is a
sexually frustrated and unhappy housewife.
Yeah, but who has just been divorced
and she's ready to get some.
She's hot to trot.
I like to think, even though this isn't the case, I like to think that it's the same woman.
I was kind of thinking that too. That would be neat.
In my movie,
except that it would mean that
she's the same woman.
Except that it means that she was still married to Peter Gallagher the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Or that she goes off with James Spader, and he also let her down.
Yeah.
So either one of those is not
right. I know it's, the details of her character in this film make it impossible for her to be that woman.
Yeah.
But in my movie, in my head, she's that woman.
Soderbergh did not direct this time around, but he practically did, because he shot it, he edited it, he was an executive producer, and this longtime collaborator of his did the actual directing. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
It's a Soderbergh film.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And it looks fantastic, because all his films look that way.
But it doesn't look like Magic Mike.
No.
It doesn't have that, like, awful
hepatitis cam going on.
That jaundicey Florida sun happening.
That's because this is a happier movie.
Oh, much. Magic Mike. This is so much more, let's put on a show. If the first movie fooled people into thinking they were going to get, like, woo, you know, dancers with packages, right, and they wound up getting a movie about, oh, life in the post-2008 economy and what it's driven us to, this is the woo, dancers with packages movie, you know. And
yes, but not
as well done as it could have been if it was just going to be a musical. It does have maybe a thought or two in its head.
I don't think it's as good as Magic Mike, but I think it has some weird points to make about
your dreams.
About your dreams. I know, and this is so silly. The idea that, you know, that there's this inversion going on where, in this world, the women have the money, and they direct men to do these things for them.
Mm.
And the men are the aesthetic and sexual objects, whose job is to, you know, serve these women. And so then what you end up having is this journey of these guys who are all dreaming of something else. Mike's got his furniture business,
which he's actually
he will go back to when the road trip is over.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Bomer wants to go back to trying to be a singer, actor. I forget what the
Joe Manganiello wants to get married.
Joe Manganiello wants to get married. Like, that's his thing. Like, I want to find a lady and settle down. And they literally use the expression glass slipper.
Yeah.
In a dirty way. But it still counts. He's still the Cinderella of the story.
Right.
So you've put a man into this traditional woman's position of dreaming of a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And What's-His-Face wants the Froyo truck.
Right.
And the wrestler guy, Tarzan, he wants to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Although if his dancing routine at the end of the movie is an indication of his art practice, he's going to be selling his work at the Beverly Hills
Starving Artist Art Fair
in the park. Yeah,
yeah. Grant, all the stuff that you mentioned is in there, and the movie sort of addresses that.
And that is how, as you said earlier, The Paris is Burning.
Right.
Connection.
But it's still not a very good movie, you know, I think. I think if it's going to be more about the musical numbers or about the dance numbers or whatever, it could do those better. They're not very well staged.
No, you're right.
And I'm not to be the guy who always complains about this stuff, but in a movie that is so much about men as objects of desire, the weirdly gay-free zone they exist in always I find very strange. That none of the dancers are gay. That none of their audience is ever gay.
Right.
That even just the idea of these guys who spend so much time primping and working out
yes.
and doing these sort of, you know, body obsessive things.
The eyebrow thing that Matt Bomer does at the beginning of the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, just that gay doesn't even remotely enter this universe.
It's not a thing here, no.
I find that weird.
It is weird. It's so strange fantasy.
Because the movie is certainly happy to sell that to us. I mean, Channing Tatum and Matt Bomer marched in the gay pride parade here this
year. Well, they didn't march. They rode on a truck.
They rode on a truck. But you know what I mean. They were in the parade.
Did some hip thrusting.
They were in the parade promoting this movie with shirts on. But, you know, still, they know that that's part of the audience of the film.
Yes.
But somehow within the film, it's as though to acknowledge it at all would knock down the whole house of cards. Like, if there were a whiff of gayness in this, like, insanely primpy, you know,
right.
workout-y, vain world, that it would just, it would muddy the water, you know.
Well, heterosexuality is very fragile.
It is a very fragile construct. The poor dears.
But yeah, to complete the thought about the Paris is Burning thing,
mm-hmm.
Very much like in Paris is Burning when they do, you know, executive realness and
schoolboy
and the contestants in the drag ball are, you know, they come out looking like a fancy executive lady.
Yeah, or like Crystal Carrington.
Yeah. And this, at the end of this, and this is not a spoiler, so don't freak out about it. You know, their routines are all, you know, a culmination of what they have been dreaming of for themselves.
Right.
So these things that they are not quite yet, their dance routines
for the ladies
are entirely aspirational. And the concept of realness
mm-hmm.
fits here.
Sure.
After it's been bandied about and abused on the internet for so long and used incorrectly.
By the young gays who don't get it.
It is used here properly, although not spoken. No one says that word.
No.
But in that voguing contest, Kevin Nash, the wrestler,
mm-hmm.
he literally mimics
a Willy Ninja
move from Paris is Burning with the makeup compact.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. So, I think this is a really interesting movie. I think it is worth seeing. When I walked out, I was not happy.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked out of the movie, I saw it with Matt Severson.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked out, I was not happy. I didn't like it. I was confused by it. And then it took me like 48 hours to sit down and think. And I took all my notes and I just typed them out. And I looked at my notes and I thought, what do I think about this film?
Hmm.
And then I, you know, and I went and had a cookie.
I would say
some laundry.
Skip the movie and just have the cookie. That would be my recommendation.
I disagree with you.
Okay.
That is what I'm doing. It's not bad.
I disagree with you. Okay. what's your DVD pick this week?
Let's keep disagreeing about things. Marketing research says that people enjoy it when we disagree about things.
That we have to save some for next week.
Okay.
We're always disagreeing about something.
All right. What was the question?
What's your DVD pick?
Once Upon a Time in the West.
Ah, and why is that?
I went to see it this week.
Mm-hmm.
The New Beverly is screening a brand new 35mm print. If you live in Los Angeles, it's too late for you to go see this film.
But they are doing The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly at the end of July,
end of the month.
Which I've never seen. I'm really excited about.
They screened it four nights in a row at the New Beverly. Apparently sold out every night. Like, that was the one thing about it that I did not like, because I do not like sitting next to strangers.
Right.
I don't like having them next to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them being in front of me. I don't like them being around me.
You clearly need to buy more tickets.
I want to be left alone. I want the movie theater to be my private fort that I can hide in from everybody. Fortunately, the people in the theater were all quiet as little Mises.
Good.
And nobody was doing their phone thing. And The boss of the New Beverly was there hanging out, watching the movie. That would be Mr. Quentin T.
Yes. what is this, AA? We're keeping him anonymous?
Yes, he's anonymous. He's Quentin T.
Quentin T.
He owns the New Beverly. and I tell you, it is a magnificent film if you have never seen this film. The last Sight and Sound poll I looked at, it was like on the number 78 of the top 250, something like that. That's top 250 films of all time. Right. This is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah.
So you really owe it to yourself to sit down and give yourself a 3-hour trip into the destruction of the American West. Although you do not see anything that looks like the destruction of the American West. All you see is
the destruction of Italy.
Railroads being built everywhere, turning the West into something else.
Right.
And bad guys of the West realizing that their time is done.
Yeah.
They're not going to run things anymore because the trains are here.
It's like that episode of The Sopranos where they're trying to, like, shake down Starbucks for protection money.
Right.
And they're like, we can't do that. Like, our district manager will just keep replacing the window.
And the Henry Fonda gives one of the most amazing pure evil performances. Yep. If you've only seen Henry Fonda be a good dude in movies, don't be late.
This will be a shocker
for watching this one, because the opening moments,
he's evil off the bat.
He gives you amazing evilness right away. In a scene that no one would do now.
Nope.
No one would do this now.
Not even Quentin T, I think.
Oh, I bet he would.
Maybe.
I bet you he would.
Well, he would, because someone else did it first. I'm terrible.
What's yours?
My DVD pick this week is actually a movie I haven't seen yet, but I've been wanting to for years, and it's now out on Blu-ray.
Do we have it?
We do have it.
Here in the house.
We do. It is a musical by Takashi Miike called The Happiness of the Katakuris.
Oh, when did that show up in the mail?
It's one of those ones that doesn't...
Oh, it doesn't have a cover.
Yeah.
I see.
We have the disc. So, yeah, it's apparently quite the freak out. And, yes. You know, it is a Takashi Miike movie, and it is a musical at the same time.
Yes.
And I like both of those things separately, so yes. I'm very excited to see what they're like together.
Would you like me to read you some letters?
Always.
All right. This is from Matthew Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Dear David Alonzo, thanks for the heads up on the Decline of Western Civilization box set.
Yeah.
I need to pick that up. We will probably have some friends over for a TV party.
I see what you did there.
As for the Go-Go's, they ended up in the Stuart Copeland Music Dog Erg A Music War, yes.
Correct, yes.
I saw Erg A Music War back in the 80s at the Granada Theater in Dallas.
I saw it on VHS when I was in college.
They used to pair that with the ska movie called Dance Craze. They used to show feature all the time at the Granada.
I remember watching Erg, and then for years after that, Kurt Holman and I would impersonate Klaus Nomi. Coming to grips with the total eclipse of the sun.
I impersonate your laugh. You impersonate Klaus Nomi.
We're all giving.
We're full. Yeah. We're like Fred Travellina, you and me. Is he alive?
I think he's not.
Okay.
He used to do impersonations for you youngsters out there.
He goes on. In Erg A Music War, one can see a... Now. He calls her a husky Belinda Carlisle.
How about Zaftig?
Not even Zaftig. Like, 19-year-old baby fat.
Okay.
Like, who cares?
So what? Who cares?
Complete with 80s headband. That is good headband. belting out "We Got the Beat" while the drummer is physically seen, mentally counting the beat as she drums. The highlight of their performance comes when a young man from the audience climbs on stage and a bouncer chases him off the stage while the young man flails his arms like a one-year-old running from his parents, does not faze the band at all. My second Go-Go's bit of info came from an airline stewardess who told me that they were all witches.
Ooh.
Except she used a stronger word people associate with female dogs.
Oh.
I can't believe that Gina Schock or Kathy Valentine or Charlotte Caffey or Jane Wheelan are mean.
Well said. I met Jane a couple times. Because we have friends in common.
Yeah.
And she was lovely.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That, the Margot, which is something I had forgotten. Margot, the original founder of the band.
Right.
She's in the Erg clip.
Ah.
In the band.
So she's the drummer in that?
No. She's a guitar player. Yeah.
Now,
they had a drummer before Gina named Alyssa.
Ah.
They got rid of her. Apparently, she just wasn't good enough, or something like that.
Now, this thing that you were showing at Outfest, this "In Search of Margogo," is that about her or something else?
Ish.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that the whole letter?
This is a letter from Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
This is a letter of complaint to Alonzo Duralde.
Well,
I can't wait.
All right.
Time for reading. I'm going to be harsh in the nicest way possible. Let's see about that.
I'm married to that.
But that, oh, he's, it's a, okay, but that may change during the course of the letter.
Ooh.
I've been a fan of What the Flick for years. I've loved it ever since it started, and I love Linoleum Knife dearly, but golly, Alonzo and Ben Mankiewicz have been getting on my nerves.
Sorry?
With the lengths of the discussions and the time of which they upload. I don't understand that. What's that mean?
The length of the discussion.
And the time of which they upload. What's that mean?
That we take too long to do things?
I don't know. For example, the Boardwalk Empire discussions just stopped after episode 2. No mention as to why that halted.
That was Ben. I've never watched. I stopped watching Boardwalk Empire after about 4 episodes. People told me it got better later, but by that point, I had already stopped.
Get Ben over here to
so
defend himself.
Ben did a couple of recaps. Well, here's what happened. I remember this now, actually. Ben started doing recaps. We don't like to do them by ourselves because that's kind of pointless. The idea is
utterly pointless.
The whole point is the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I think Cenk was supposed to do the Boardwalk Empire recaps, but Cenk's been super busy of late because, you know, he runs the network and all. And I think he just wound up being one of those things where he couldn't find anybody else at TYT who was watching the show. And so they stopped doing them.
Oh. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. That has nothing to do with you.
No.
Example number 2.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of stuff he's going to tell you about.
Mm-hmm.
And number 2, the House of Cards discussions.
Okay, yes.
What the flick is up with that?
Oh,
I like that sentence.
Okay.
You have given no explanation as to why that has stopped. But none of this is about film, by the way, but let's just get...
I can explain the House of Cards.
You continue to do other discussions with... Now, he calls Ben a name. I'm not going to read that name.
Mm.
That's not nice. We like Ben a lot. He's our friend. With Ben on True Detective and film reviews. It's annoying. That's the one thing about the TYT reviews that I don't like. Y'all have absolutely, all caps, no consistency at all. Defend yourself.
Okay. Well, you picked the 2 shows that we stopped doing. House of Cards Season 3, unfortunately, was a perfect storm of we were moving studios. Ben was out of town. I was out of town. There was like, Ben had some family stuff that he had to deal with. And so it got later and later and later. And it finally just felt like, by that point, the show had been out for a couple of months.
Right.
And it just seemed pointless. So we just didn't do the rest of it. And, you know, I've had 3 or 4 people have pointed out, hey, what happened to the rest of House of Cards? But it's not like, you know, America has cried out for the rest of the the House of Cards thing. So, you know, we're going to be, we will be better in the future. We sometimes make mistakes. You're getting it for free. So, now, you know. That,
they're getting this show for free. Should we just be willy-nilly?
No, I'm just saying.
The way that you guys are being willy-nilly?
Look, we're willy-nilly on these two things.
Helter-skelter.
I would say everything else we've been very consistent about, and we see it through. Look, I watched all of Turn season one.
Bumbly.
I watched all of Turn season one when I was dying to get out of it. Because we had to finish it out. Like, and when we stopped doing The Brink, we did a whole thing about how, okay, we're stopping doing The Brink.
That's maybe that's what you should do. Maybe you should be like, okay, this thing is where we're stopped. You're not going to see anymore. We are stopping.
You're right.
Here's a special episode of us telling you why we are stopping.
I guess, yeah, we probably should have done that. And in future, we will continue to
do
that.
We're done. We have no...
I'm sorry that we have been so disappointing to you. I can only say that we will do better in the future.
And another thing.
Oh, God. What else have I done?
These 9, 10, or 11, what have you, minute discussions just don't cut it. Make them longer. Stop with the little insight you guys have on the episode. Stop with the little insight you guys have on the episode.
Stop with the little insights?
You need bigger insights, I guess.
You know...
More insights, please. Longer episodes and more insights.
We play it by ear. Sometimes we have a lot to say about an episode, and sometimes we have not as much. So
all of this is directed to Alonzo. Mm. Fix it. Or you will soon have one less subscriber to What the Flick... And Linoleum Knife. Hey, we haven't even done anything wrong yet.
Yeah, you can't pin this on us. Dave White has nothing to do with
you. You're ruining everything now for me.
Apparently so. Well, I'm very sorry.
Hopefully you'll bother to make the TV reviews worth listening to when you do the LKTV thing. If that's even true, of course.
Ouch. Ouch.
It's not true, man. We've been setting you up this whole time. There ain't going to be no LKTV. What you think?
We are going to do it when we start doing our subscription. But bear in mind, and I'm going to tell you this right now, if LKTV is the thing you're looking for.
There's not going to be any insights in LKTV.
Not many. And also, Dave is not going to be watching everything I watch.
That is correct.
He does not have time for that kind of
thing. I have a lot of other important television shows that I have to watch. There's a lot of cooking shows.
I'm not going
to
be watching all of his stuff either. So
Williams?
He'll be talking about Shaw's of Sunset and Wendy Williams. And I'll be talking about, you know, Hannibal and True Detective. So
I have a feeling that we're going to keep disappointing Don.
Right? It sounds like it. He has rigorous...
On behalf of Alonzo Duralde, who cannot help but be disappointing... I apologize for Alonzo Duralde's continuing disappointment. Jam. Constant disappointment. That is Alonzo Duralde. It's a good thing you're cute. Because you're so disappointing.
Sorry. We'll do better in the future.
You better do better. You're going to lose us a listener. You are going to lose us a listener. How you like that? Mm. Okay, so next letter. That's not a letter. Is this a letter?
I don't know, Dave. Is it?
Shh. That's not a letter.
Oh, brother.
These are tweets. Why?
You have one job.
I have a whole lot of other jobs. Hang on.
Oh, brother.
Just calm down. Say something important to people about...
Your call is very important to us. Well, let's see. Did I mention that Outfest is coming up July 9th through 19th? And you can get tickets for everything. A lot of great stuff we're doing this year. Most exciting, perhaps, is our screening of the 54 Director's Cut at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. It's our big, beautiful outdoor screening this year since the Ford is under renovation. And there will be no ticket sales at the cemetery, so you've got to get those in advance. Go to outfest.org for information on tickets.
Use the internet.
To all programs.
I found a letter.
Oh, good.
It's from Noah.
Oh.
Noah of the many emails.
Imagine that.
What is happening, my dogs?
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what you guys think about Snakes on a Plane. If you haven't seen it, for one, you've already disappointed me. Look how disappointing we keep being.
I'm telling you. We're just ruining it for everyone.
And two, if you haven't lived yet, you haven't lived yet if you have not watched this movie. I don't care if Dave is 51, and I don't care that Alonzo is like 32 and a half. He looks older, but he isn't. Bye.
Okay.
He signs it Leo.
Okay.
We have both seen Snakes on a Plane.
Young man.
I think it's fantastic. I love Snakes on
a
Plane.
We were immersed in the Snakes on the Plane phenomenon.
Yes.
On the internet.
Yes.
In fact, I got to read an early script of it one time on a plane going to Sundance. It was one of the most exciting moments of my life. I was sitting next to some agency people, and they had some scripts. And that was one of them. And I was like, oh my God, I got to read that right now. So I read Snakes on a Plane on a plane. Yeah, we're big fans of Snakes on a Plane. It's a hoot.
It's a lot of hoots.
Yes. I'm glad they never made a sequel.
They could have made a sequel. I'd have been okay with it.
I guess. But I think it, you know, it's a one and done.
Yeah. Scrolling through more letters. Dang. I'm not going to read more than one from Noah in per episode.
That's...
But I've hit a Noah bank.
Yes, the mother load.
Wait, here's one. This is from Rakim.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Alonzo and Dave. This is a revised version of a letter that I sent earlier that I think may have been one of those that Dave lost track of.
Imagine.
I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I thought it was about time I wrote to tell you how much I love the show.
Oh, thanks.
I've been listening to for a little over a year now after seeing Alonzo on What the Fleck. And have been hooked ever since. Even when I disagree with your opinions on certain films, I always value your input. And different perspectives, and your tangents are the best.
Thank you.
Anyway, my original letter contained a list of 20 films that I love and I wish more people had seen, heard of, or would simply talk about more, not necessarily my all-time favorites. Keep in mind that I don't have a lot of cinephile friends, so these titles may not be as obscure to more like-minded individuals. I've managed to whittle it down to 10, and I hope you guys will do me the honor of being knifed.
All right, bring it.
Daughters of the Dust.
Ooh.
It's a heavy one.
It is.
Yeah, and it's a great film.
Yeah, but, you know, if you can, like, read a plot synopsis beforehand, I would recommend it. Because as hard as it was for me to keep track of what was going on in The Tribe, which is all sign language with those subtitles, I was even more baffled by what was going on in Daughters of the Dust, because it's all conversations, and they're all in, what is it, Gullah or something?
I don't know.
It's some sort of, like, Creole dialect that...
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. But yeah, great movie.
From Julie Dash.
Yes.
1991. Number two, Eve's Bayou.
Oh, love it. It's
fantastic. Deep End, 1970. I haven't seen that.
I haven't either. Like Jerzy Skolimowski?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know of it. And it actually, it's even popped up on TCM a couple times, but I have not seen it.
Yeah. Birth, Jonathan Glazer.
Love it.
Borgman, which we have sitting on the TV.
It's in, what is it? What do you call it? Mount Unwatched?
It's on Mount Unwatched. Mm-hmm. It's sitting there in a stack. We have not watched Borgman yet. Nothing But a Man, 1964, Michael Romer.
I know of it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, same here. So you're three of the six we have not seen. Possession, 1981.
Oh, with, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Medicine for Melancholy.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah.
Beautifully shot. I was okay with the movie, but I love the cinematography.
The Swimmer,
Yeah,
Burt
yeah,
Lancaster.
Yeah, 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 good one.
And Two Lovers.
Ew. Everybody likes that movie, okay, but I hate that movie.
So here's what's up, dude. You are
90% knife.
You are 95% knife, and here's why. Three of them I ain't seen. Two Lovers. I believe, Mr. Duralde, that you and I may be the only two people, the only two lovers, who didn't like Two Lovers.
Doesn't mean we're wrong.
Everyone else, all the other critics I know, all the other human beings I know who saw Two Lovers, really into it. And it makes me feel like I have to go give it another chance.
No. Fight it.
Why?
Because if you were the only one that liked it and everybody else hated it, you would double down and be entrenched in the fact that you liked it.
Yes.
So why the fact that you didn't like something that everybody else liked suddenly is suspect?
It's not suspect. I never said suspect.
But you're doubting yourself.
No, I'm not doubting myself either. What I am doing, though, is wanting to go back and see it through their eyes. That is what I do in my life. I don't dig in my heels. I go back and I listen again, or I read it again, or I look at it again, because people whose opinions I respect say to me, well, this is the film I saw. You saw something else. Maybe you were just in a bad mood that day. Maybe you needed a cookie. Maybe your blood sugar was low. Anything could have happened.
Not having it. I saw it. I hated it. I'm done.
I'm not done.
Fine.
95%
go
knife
watch
Rakim.
It all the time. Go watch until you love it. With the Clockwork Orange clamps in your eyes, for all I care.
Go watch it until you love it.
You like it so much, why don't you marry it?
That's all the letters.
All right.
For now.
Well, we thank you for listening. We hope you've had a lovely July 4th weekend. And hey, guess what?
It's ready.
The Linoleum Knife presents more Linoleum Knife episode devoted to What's Up, Doc?
It's here.
It's here.
It's done.
It's available.
It is accomplished.
It is ready for you to purchase.
So ordered.
How can you purchase it?
With money.
You can just PayPal us.
All of it.
$1.99.
More than that.
At linoleumpodcast@gmail.com.
You should pay more than that.
No, $1.99 is all you have to pay.
That's all you have to pay.
linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what it is you're ordering and what email address you want us to send it to. While you're making your order, of course, you could pick up on one of our previous episodes, like The Poseidon Adventure, like Josie and the Pussycats, or Clue, or Two for the Road, or The Apple.
Or one of those, or one of the two Christmas movies.
Or one of the Christmas movies, if you feel like it. White Christmas or Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So yeah, finally, we have done the 1972 comedy masterpiece from Peter Bogdanovich.
Finally. It has happened
finally,
to you.
Yes. So What's Up, Doc is ready to go. We even had a couple of pre-orders for it. That's how much excitement and anticipation there's been for this one.
For the past 2 months when we've been talking about it.
We've been talking about it forever.
And not
but we,
doing it.
We finally did it. So so go get that and enjoy it. As always, check out our friends on the internet. Go to ChristyLemire.com. I want to plug a podcast that has just started a few weeks ago. That I have been finding really enjoyable. It's called After Smash. It is co-hosted by Lewis Peitzman at BuzzFeed, and they are basically going episode by episode through the late lamented, hate-watched two-episode musical drama dud Smash. And it's really funny, and I'm really enjoying it. And if you ever watched Smash, you'll find it funny. And I think even if you didn't, you might get a kick out of it. Just it's a very funny show. And I have been invited to go on it, which I would love to do. And Lewis has been invited to come on our show, which I hope he'll do. So check it out. Of course, take a listen to the B Movies podcast with Bibbs and Whitney and the Schmoes Know. The Rotten Tomatoes podcast and Malton on Movies and the Canon, the Brett Easton Ellis podcast, Fat Guys of the Movies, the Criterion cast, Film Spotting SVU, the Game Night Guys, and Secretly Timid. You can subscribe to this show for free at iTunes. Please leave us a review like Holly Hubby did.
Holly Hubby.
We appreciate it. He left us a nice 5-star review. The more positive reviews we get,
5-star only,
the better placement that iTunes gives us on their podcast page.
Not interested in little 4-star reviews.
And there are just so many dang podcasts out there. It really helps to kind of be heard above
5 stars.
So we, you know, we love the reviews on iTunes. We love you telling people about the show and tweeting about the show and posting it on your Facebook and all that good stuff. So yeah, keep the word out and let people know that you like what you hear here. You can stream us at Stitcher Radio or thelounge.com, and you can also stream us on a handy little app on our Facebook page, Linoleum Knife Podcast. Please go like that. And while you're on Facebook, you can also join the Linoleum Knife Podcast group and talk to our other listeners about movies and whatnot. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel and stream some of our oldest episodes from 5 years ago, four years ago, where the show is almost 5 years old now. It's
crazy. And absolutely nothing has changed.
Not in the slightest. follow us on Twitter at LinoleumCast. And again, you can email us at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. And that's also where you can PayPal us for our new What's Up Doc commentary. And of course, linoleum-knife.com is where the podcast lives. It's where Dave is writing reviews these days and where we post links to our other stuff. So go check that out as well. Thank you for listening. We always appreciate it. And we will catch you guys next time.
That it?
That's it.
We're done with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.